to represent this that I know is to draw a diagram for you. But puts the prophet squarely in his generation and time. And you'll have to excuse my state of vision. I'm not good at drawing. Addresses an audience, whether they be kings or priests or prophets or people. And these are the people of immediate concern for the prophet. Now, regardless if he's passing judgment or talking about future restoration in which they will not participate because of their sin, his immediate concern is them, what they know about their situation. With regard to that, he can take a view backwards into the historical past and say, this is what was done back there. Fathers did this and so. God did thus and so. And then he takes that historical past and applies it to the present. And so what you're looking at is, what is the meaning of the past for the present in light of the revelation of God? Not only that, he can go beyond the immediate and say, past is the future. Return to the old ways is a frequent prophetic phrase. I will again lead my people, Yahweh says. What's he doing at that point? He's going back to the historical past, applying it to the present, and extending it into the future. But where does it all intersect? At the immediate concern level. Right. That's important part number one. Second, he can also look at the present and interpret the meaning of things that are happening all around him. Of critical scholarship has been that they tend to see prophets only as astute political observers. In other words, they tend to see them as people who look at what's happening around them, and because of their unique political position and expertise, they can say, this is what is going to happen. This is what it means. However, the prophets tell you a very different story about that. They tell you the kind of story that makes you aware that God gave to them an understanding of the present, that it's divinely originated. Ezekiel is a good example in this regard. He lives in the exile. Lived in Babylon for most of his adult life. Now, a politically astute observer might have heard of the various things that were happening and he might have been able to make determinations about what would happen. But Ezekiel lets you in on the secret that God showed him exactly what was happening and what what its meaning was and what its import was for the contemporary situation. So they're not merely political observers who say, all right, this is what's going to happen. They're persons who see God's interpretation of the present for a present audience. Now, of course, there's something about the present. Present has an interesting characteristic of always predicating a future as well. So implications are necessarily evident in any statement about the present. So if part of the present reality is that God has a covenant with Israel, and part of the present reality is judgment of Israel, then the future implications are the mediation of covenant judgment. It's inherent in the nature of what's happening right now. These guys are kind of the church of what's happening now at that point. It has implications futuristically. But it's the future of the audience of immediate concern. Right? Now, a prophet also has the ability to predict. It is not an inherent ability. In other words, he is not a gifted person in the regards of, apart from divine intervention, being able to determine the future. He is rather a recipient person. God acts upon him in some way, making him aware of divine intention. Well, two things become important. First of all, God's foreknowledge. That is, does God have the ability to know the future? Scripture unquestionably says he has the ability to do so. Second is, does God have the power to affect the future? Again, Scripture is going to assert unquestionably that God is so capable. If God then is self-declaratory, he declares to man himself and his character, he can also declare his intentions based upon foreknowledge and ability. Question might be raised, but would he do so? And the only response is the prophets declared he had done so. So prediction is possible. It's not the total of what a prophet is, but it's certainly possible. Now, I'm going to draw the lines purposely, and please pay attention to how they're drawn. The prophet looks through his audience of immediate concern out here into the future. The future is that which immediately impends upon the audience to which he's talking. In other words, if you've got today, tomorrow, one day separated, is future. Right? And is future. But when the prophet speaks about what's future,
tables normally talks about this frame of reference as extending clear out here. In other words, the future begins tomorrow. So the key word for this is the Hebrew word hinam. Most frequently translated as behold. Unfortunate translation. Because the word is essentially a now kind of thing. To illustrate to you, one of its usages is in the phrasing in Samuel, when Samuel is called by God. Or it says, Shmuel, Hineni, here I am, right now here. Shmuel, Hineni, here I am, right now. In other words, it's a word of immediacy, of presence, than a way out there. And it's usually coupled in the prophetic oracles with a future tense, the imperfect in the Hebrew, which conveys the idea of incompleted action. Now, I want to convey that idea, incompleted action, rather than futures, too frequently translated by simple future. Behold, the days will come when. A more correct translation is, behold, the days are coming, or in fact, now days are coming. In other words, starting tomorrow, look out. What it does is it enhances our awareness of something called the imminency of the future. We sing a chorus, he's coming soon, he's coming soon. That word soon suggests not now, but sometime later. It would be better to sing it, but it doesn't work so well in the lyrics. He's coming imminently, he's coming imminently. Meaning, he is right now, immediately impending on this world. The prophetic view of the future then looks at the immediate context and says, future begins immediately. Judgment, restoration, both are immediately impending upon you. Now, one of the reasons we have difficulty with it is because of the historical time frame separating us from the days of the prophets. It's a long time. You go back 1985 years plus four to make the calendrical adjustment, 1989 years, and then run back another 830 some years to Joel, all of a sudden you're 2800 years differential between us and Joel. It's hard for us to deal with the concepts without saying, Joel must have been talking about my time. I want you to keep in mind that Joel's concern was the people he's talking to and the imminency of the future as it was related to them. Peter speaks in the New Testament and says, this is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel. He announces fulfillment, the ultimate fulfillment of that. But he does so in light of Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. This outlook is very, very important. You must understand this. It's critical that you do so. You must also understand that the future is ultimately expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Testament then interprets Jesus into the ever-widening future. Now it's my opinion, okay? My opinion is it's totally improper for you to pick up the newspaper, bypass this whole stream, and say, this is that which is spoken by prophets. Because in so doing, you ignore the immediate context, you ignore the fulfillment of the Old Testament as found in Jesus, which is the point of the New Testament writers. It's not just a matter of hermeneutical discrepancy, it's a matter of the whole perspective of the New Testament writers saying Jesus and his presence is the presence of the kingdom of God here and now, as well as there and then. And they tend to then interpret Jesus into the ever-widening future. Imagery will be the same. Revelation will draw upon the imagery of Ezekiel, draw upon the imagery of Daniel, draw upon the imagery of Isaiah, but uses it in a new way in light of present reality of the kingdom in Jesus Christ. Now we're in perspective for preaching of the prophets. We're going to approach the literature from the perspective that it's Old Testament, not New Testament. We're going to approach it from the perspective that it is Christian scripture. That it has application to life situations both then and now. Approach it from the perspective of its viewpoints, that its message means something to the immediate context. German theologian Walter Eichhorst, E-I-C-H-R-O-D-T, in his Old Testament theology, selects covenant as the most important theme. He does so on the basis of the prophet's emphasis upon covenant. I'm not sure I agree if it's the most important, but it certainly is a highly significant one in the prophets.
this concept. That is the way then we can approach. Prophets then speak to a wide variety of life issues. Not just what's going to happen in the future, but how should we now live? Prophetic preaching, I may put it in that term, brings the impact of their concerns to bear on the life issues of your present context. Idolatry is still a problem. Amen. Mistrust of God is still a problem. We, like Malachi, his audience, sometimes say, how have we loved God? Jesus, rather interestingly, applies it to his own day. In the Olivet Discourse, there will be those who come and say, Lord, in your name we have cast out devils, we have done great works, we have done all manner of things. And he says, the Lord will respond and say, depart from me, you workers. I know you not. Promise to live. So I think at this point we can deal with a beginning in prophetic literature. So now I give you your assignment. You have one of them already, and that is, of course, the reading in this material. Pay special attention to the suggestions for approach. Then, using the material in Isaiah, chapters 55 through 66, I want you to select a passage for exegesis, for sermon. Express its central point in a thesis statement. Something to the effect, the central point of this passage is, right? Suggest the relevance of the passage to the prophet's time, and suggest the relevance of the passage to our time. Suggest the relevance of the passage to the prophet's time. Suggest the relevance of the passage to our time. Okay. Have a little quiz on this next Thursday morning. Be aware of that. Any question on the assignment? Isaiah 55 through 66.
Speak of passage, are you speaking of just...
Well, the prophet is going to be a selection of an oracle. Right? That's going to involve some careful observation.
3 points.
Pardon?
Sure, we have about 3 points.
Your assignment you had for selection, thesis statement, relevance to the prophecy.